Blog Talk Radio.
The Spirit of God is in this place. The Spirit of God is strong in this place. I feel His anointing strong here. If you might be expecting something, just open your spirit to receive. Whether you are watching us through the networks, open your spirit to receive. This song is entitled Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I love you, you guide me all things, you guide me all things, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you have opened my eyes, you have opened my eyes, Holy Spirit,
said Holy Spirit, somebody obviously said Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit,
Paulette, and I am so thrilled that you have joined us this morning in our Friday Fellowship of Learners, coming to you since approximately 2015 on Fridays, glorifying God, rejoicing in this season in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. As the song was playing, there were some things that I was thinking about precious Holy Spirit and how he's such an illuminator. And we went through a study of some of the characteristics of Holy Spirit. And I just wanted to share some with you this morning as we meditate on the ministry of the Holy Spirit and what that ministry looks like and why it exists and the power of it and the purpose. And so I believe that as we acknowledge and understand and embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we are able to soar into those high places of intimacy with God because he is a revealer. He's an illuminator. He is ever present and an ever connector of us to heaven. We just rejoice in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Spirit for the believers because he's a comforter and he is a teacher. We thank God that he exists to help us regenerate. He exists to help us to be sanctified and to be purified in the word of God, getting the revelation of the word of God. He gives us his fruit so that we look like him, as 11 fruit. Also, we realize that it's these things that when we pursue them will bring us to a place where we look like Christ. And so the ministry of the Holy Spirit corrects us when we're going in a direction that will not enhance the destiny on our life. He does what is needed to bring us to a place of perfection in God. He delivers and he guides us. He guides us into all truth, truth that transforms us. We can read a truth, but we need a guide to navigate that truth in our life. Because until it is in our life, then it just sits on the page and it has not come alive. It has not done what it was intended to do. It has not met its goal, which is to become one with us, so much so that it is then our nature. We will have become. We cannot become without the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because who knows the Spirit of God but the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit. And so he releases that Spirit to us so that we will know his will. We will understand his purpose, and we will pursue him in a path that leads to him, not in a false path or a path of error, but a path of righteousness. And we've often said path of righteousness. However, it's the right path to get to the glory of God. And what is the glory of God? The glory of God is the presence of God in our life, shining on an area of the world of God's creation in such a way that it is seen as God originally intended to be seen. He is the Spirit of promise, and he is the Spirit of adoption. He is the Spirit of faith. We must believe. We must embrace and obey that radical obedience. There's a holy obedience, but when we are walking in the Spirit, it requires a radical obedience, an obedience that it doesn't seem like this is what he really wants me to do. Yes, yes. And the Spirit of truth will testify to that. It will be a witness to your spirit that it is the Spirit of God that God wants to release in the earth realm through us and through the Spirit of God, through the Holy Spirit, the omnipotent Spirit, the omniscient and omnipresent Spirit, the Godhead. And so when we realize that he loves us, he grieves for us, he prays for us, he speaks to us, he permits and he forbids us. He has a will. And he searches out our human mind so that it can get in line with the mind of God. It is such a ministry that is so quintessential to the life of a born-again believer. He indwells, he seals, and he feels. There is so many attributes that we need to acknowledge in the Holy Spirit, acknowledge his ministry, embrace his ministry, and obey his ministry, and then enjoy the love that gave his ministry to mankind, which is the Lord God in heaven. And so we thank God for Holy Spirit, and we like say today, Holy Spirit, we love you. And Holy Spirit is being illuminated or highlighted in our study of Hell's Toxic Trio, because he is our only source of discernment. He is our answer against the strategy of the enemy, because we wouldn't know it unless the Spirit of the living God reveals it to us through his Holy Spirit. And so, as a result, we're able to avoid falling into the strategy of Hell's Toxic Trio. We looked at elements in that trio, the spirit of the python, the spirit of Jezebel, and now we're looking at the religious spirit. And we're finding some interesting things of the religious spirit and some things that honestly I had not thought about, but I realized that as we go to get that scripture, because that is really our text scripture, is Ephesians 6 and 12. And it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. And so what we hear from that scripture, that was the New International. I want to read it out of the Message Bible. So far, I don't have it yet. I have it in any other version. God's Word translation. It says, "This is not a wrestling match against a human opponent. We are wrestling with rulers, authorities, and powers who govern this world of darkness, and spiritual forces control evil in the heavenly world." And so we're understanding we're not fighting human beings, but we are fighting this strategy of against us of Hell's Toxic Trio. There's more than three, but they're the lead, and they're the ones that establishes a pattern in whatever area that the enemy is trying to kill, steal, or destroy. We need to see that also as that three part of the strategy of the enemy: kill, steal, and destroy. Steal, we see it's the spirit of Jezebel, and she wants to steal our authority and deceive us into being seduced to do what she wants and not what that spirit would desire, so that we are it kills our authority. We become powerless because we've compromised and we've lined up in the enemy's camp, and so we're not able to exercise path when we are being deceived, when we're being seduced, and then to steal, and then to kill is that python. He kills your breath, your very will, by squeezing it out little by little, so that you're not even aware sometimes that that's what's happening, but it wears you down and wears you down and wears you down to a place where you can now be destroyed. Your faith is destroyed because of the constant barrage of the python, of that squeezing and that pressure and that compressing those things inside of us to a point where they're not able to expand and to believe. And so when we hear and we read these scriptures, we want to visualize the weapon that's formed against us, not the people that are displaying this behavior, but understand the source of it and understand the people, you can overcome them, but you cannot overcome the source, the spirit behind them, without the power of the Holy Spirit, without the discernment of the Holy Spirit, without the constant guide and direction of the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit giving us the insight that we need in order to avoid the plan and the trap and the strategy that is put against our destiny. And so we see now we're at the religious spirit. And the religious spirit is often said how it's the most damaging spirit, because it works on, it's not on the mind, and it's not on the emotions. The other demons and those spirits, they influence the mind and thought and the emotions and beliefs of the people. However, the religious spirit sows bondage into the life. There are levels of assignment in these demonic forces. And as the scripture in Ephesians talks about the different levels, then we come to understand that we're at the religious sphere is the highest level to restrict and to rule an authority. They are over the territory. They're over a region of place and a people of place. Stronghold of false religion chokes out the preaching of the gospel, even threatens believers with acts of violence. In some regions of the world, these demonic powers are so strong that the only way Christ can break through is by visiting people in persons through dreams, visions, and personal encounters. There are the religious demons that sow seeds of the world's false religion, as we established in the other chapters, and these demons work to abort the magnificent revelation of the man named Jesus Christ. And so we understand that this target of this spirit and I was looking for the sentence that shared that target. But the greatest measure of the religious spirit that acts to enslave people and groups of people in false belief systems and lifeless work. This type of spirit is a high-level demon, most likely on the level of principalities, much like the Queen of Heaven. And we see that in Jeremiah 7 and 18. This is a far greater plot than affecting an individual with rage or lust or despair. This is a territorial demon that infiltrates churches, ministries, groups, organizations, cities, regions to establish a firm stronghold of religious bondage. This demon has a collective assignment to ensnare and entangle a large group of people, thereby preventing the light of the gospel. And so we need to see this strategy of this religious spirit. And what it is sharing here organization, the very foundation of the faith structure of a people or of a group, of an organization, of a city or of a region or of a ministry. It is a territorial demon, and it infiltrates, it makes its way in by false preaching and teaching, a false belief system. You ever hear someone speaking and what they're saying is so ridiculous, you wonder, they don't really believe that, do they? But they do. That's that false belief system that has twisted information. It has twisted even the truth of Scripture to them, but defy the living God. This type of high-level demon is a level of principality that we must come up against through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This redeeming, ruling demon does not manifest boldly, but hides beneath religious language and subtle attitude. It seeks to establish a lid on a territory and people. It places a lid on the realm of power. And I read that, I realized just how devious this is, because a lid, Apostle always says that her ceiling is our floor. So that's something that does not have a lid at all. It doesn't have a cap. It is not a place that you can go and now you can't go any higher. It's always emotion, higher and higher and higher. Well, remember, the religious spirit is entangling and binding us up to feel that where we are, that's it. You know, we got it, we read it, and this is what we do. One of the questions for the homework in another class is, how does the letter kill, but the spirit brings alive? The letter of the law kills. How does it kill? And so we'll see how this false belief system is released in these organizations, so that it is no longer a relationship with God that the group is seeking, but they capped. And they capped at, we do the rules, we do the protocol, we do the structure, we do this, we do that. It does not leave place for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which is the only way you need to overcome demons. This demon deceives people into thinking they are doing God's will. It creates guardians that will fight with great intensity to maintain the religious status quo. One of the answers for this type of ruler is a true apostle who comes into a territory with a breaker anointing. And the apostle then breaks open tough ground, preach with power, build a strong kingdom-based ministry, and establish sons and daughters. There you go, that continuation, no lid, no no cap, but a continuous fresh move and wave of the Holy Spirit being infused into the ministry. But just like with the scribes and Pharisees, when Christ came with the spirit of the law, they rejected it because they had their established protocol. They had their system. They did every letter they thought the Bible said do, though they didn't, or that the law said do, the Bible, but the law. And so they were satisfied in and of themselves. Excuse me, and that's the problem. Because our satisfaction, our freedom, does not come from us obeying the law, but it comes from Christ's sacrifice. It comes from the cross. It comes from the blood. It comes from the forgiving grace of God. Now, so the demons deceive people into thinking that they're doing okay, but they're really not. The demon, of course, will fight this type of ministry tooth and nail, always infighting, always combating leadership that wants to take it to a different level, take it to a new level of, you know, not change, but infuse a new insight and revelation into the growth and development of an organization or a church, a group of people. And so as with any gathering, remember we looked at up the word politics. There's a level of politics, a struggle for authority, and they struggle for authority with these established rules and governing structures. And so to be locked into that causes us not to be able to grow in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so in this conflict, in this colliding, really, of the religious spirit with a strong apostolic leader, many regions of this type with religious spirit in operation have no strong apostolic or prophetic ministry. And that's what the other trio was tearing down, the apostolic authority, tearing down the prophetic revelation. Remember, that's how it is really dividing these two very, very connected offices to conquer the people. And we looked at in the last chapter, religious churches and groups have run them, religious churches and groups have run them down, what do you call it, wore them out, you know, got them to a place of the majority are going to go along with the status quo. It's like what the scribes and the Pharisees. There's no longer an aim of the religious spirit. There's no bigger aim of the religious spirit than to create enduring bondage. So there's some things they, oh no, we've done this for 100 years, every time on this day, at this place, at this time, this way, by this. It's this enduring bondage. And an enduring bondage is a bondage that seems okay. You know, no, we're doing the will of God. But God's will in that other season has continued to progress, and the people have not. And they don't know how. Now, the apostolic leadership will give them that trailblazing director of how to break loose. But in breaking loose, they, and I love it because it so, to me, outlines the framework of labels for Christ. And because the way to break through is with the Word of God, Word, Life, Center. And so it's based out of the Word of God. And so just as Christ fought that religious spirit with the Word of God, we as well, the Word of God is, our desire is, we must realize that this spirit infiltrates our thinking. In order to break free, we must be willing to think differently. The Word of God through a fresh lens. And so it wasn't that the Pharisees weren't looking at the word of God, but they were looking at it through a lens that had been updated by Jesus Christ. So if they looked at it through Jesus Christ's lens, a fresh lens, they wouldn't be bound by routine, but they would have been invited into relationships. And it's not, relationships are very difficult. They're not simple. They don't just happen. One of the things the author shares with us is how do we do that? How does the religious spirit create a lack of freedom? You know, and it's when we are bound and we don't receive the love of God, when we don't receive and acknowledge the goodness of God, when we don't believe the promises and who he says we are, when we don't pray in that relationship, in our relationship with one another. The religious spirit issues a constant stream of criticism and judgment, eradicating the grace of God. Bound people are continually judging others without any type of grace. True grace empowers love. When we walk in love, we are not easily offended. We are quick to forgive and full of mercy. And this is how we see the word of God through fresh lens, through a transformation truth, through the word of God being presented in ways that impact our memory and allow us the ability to embrace them more easily. Gives us the ability to digest them in a safe place, in a new and different place, not surrounded by criticism and judgment or infighting or a struggle or politics or those things that the religious spirit binds people with, stuck in that type of slave mentality. You know, there's a poverty mentality. And just as there is a slave mentality. And so often, as a slave, people were content to be cared for. So even though they were enslaved, they were content to be, you know, they were fed. They were not fed good, but they were fed. They had a place to live, you know, so they became content with that. Now, there are those that absolutely, that they knew that they weren't going to be taxed. They were not going to be cut off at that place, and there'd be no place else for them to go. And so as a result, they fought it with the truth of who they were. They fought it with prayer. They fought it by getting together and fighting together. They taught it by being united against the enemy. Breaking the rule of religious power happens by teaching, by going and being taught. The reality is that those very traditional act as tools to restrict and contain the move of God. We need daring apostolic leaders who refuse to bow and keep blazing trails. Don't give up. When they had traveled, Paul in his travel, when they were in the synagogue of the Jews, you know, according to his custom, Paul went in on the Sabbath and he taught and he explained and he proved that the Christ has to suffer and to raise from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." Some of them were persuaded and joined with Paul, including, you know, some devout Greeks and many leading women. But the Jews who did not believe became jealous, and taking some evil men from the marketplace, gathered against Christ. And so what we see is, as Paul went to the synagogue and he preached and he taught the word of God, that it broke the religious spirit on a lot of people. And they joined in the current move of God. Apostles and prophets can work together to accomplish this goal in short order. There must be a release of heavenly foundation, a ripping apart of false foundation, and a building of new foundation through the word of God, set in order to set people free. The regents were stirred up. One of the things they said when they complained about the Paul and Silas, and they were preaching, they said, these men who have turned the world upside down has come here also. So it is known that, you know, that their ministry was affecting, even before they got there, the people knew about them. And so, I'm going to stop here for today. So we're seeing so much being revealed to us in a way that I think that we can relate to today, and the things that happen in the religious community and in different regions and different churches and different ministries. And we have to understand, we cannot fear man's response to God's plan of action for his people. We have to understand his promises. First, we got to know them. They need to be taught, not just memorized. We've memorized them, and they've gotten us to this place. Now we have to digest them. We have to get them worked into our lives and into our thinking, into our emotions. By every time something rises up, we must, and it's going to rise up, but we want it to meet a promise of God. Now, it can meet it through us memorizing it, but it should meet us through how we respond. And we respond with faith in the promise that God made, even though we may not see it manifest at that moment. We believe. And in our unbelief, we have prayer. We pray, and we let the Lord know, you know, what our desire is. And we break that bond that would keep us from being in new dimensions of intimacy with God. One of the highest points of prayer is the release of God's glory. When we come into the presence of God and his glory shows up, he is there in person. When he steps in, anything is possible. And that's something we must believe, because it is a promise. And we can say it, but we have to live and firm our firm foundation, tearing down the false religious ideologies and I want to say traditions, but things that it seems like they would normally do. And we don't do the normal. We don't do the status quo. We walk in expectation of the supernatural. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, the understanding of the Holy Spirit is, there is liberty. There is a freedom that comes because the Spirit of the Lord is the illuminator, and he is the connector. He connects us to the mind and the spirit of God. And is that is the only connection that we can trust. That is the only connection that in this season we need to consider, because else is sinking ground. Anything else is an opportunity for the enemy to deceive and to seduce, to steal, kill, and to destroy. So the lines are open for questions, comments, insights.
Overseer, I just wanted to say I felt that the revelation, directive that was given is so needed for this season and this time. And sometimes you don't take into consideration forces outside of the familiar that are aligning themselves up. Nor do we always have the strategy or the stratagems to be able to address them. And so I definitely appreciate the way you brought out the insight of it and made it relevant to this very, very current season that I'm going to say the body of Christ finds itself in. So thank you.
Amen. All right. Anybody else? Okay. I know we have Elder Deborah on the line. Did you want to start I know sometimes she's driving or at work. Okay. And then we have Elder Roberta on the line. Do you have a prayer for us today?
Good morning, Minister Fuller. Yes,
good
ma'am.
Good morning.
Yes. Father God, we just come back in today for you. Love toward us, Father God. We thank you for life, health, and strength. And Father God, we as your children, we desire that your power be with us and in us, Father God, not only upon us, in order that we may fulfill our spiritual assignments, break oppression, and catapult us into the destiny that you have for us, Father. Help us to recognize your anointing given for a specific purpose and mandate. Continue, Father, to anoint us with your divine oil from heaven with life, strength, and breakthrough in our assigned purposes in life. Father, we surrender our will to you. Help us to understand covenant with you as well as covenant with our leaders and those you have given us as our ministry partners. Let the anointing of your presence be felt in all that we do and say. And Father, we thank you for Mr. Lestrange, how you endowed him, Father, with the word to us to open our eyes, Father God, to the enemy of our souls. Father God, in our spirits. Father God, we thank you for everything that he has written on the pages of this book from you, given to him, Father God, to encourage us in our walk with you, Father God, and to open our eyes and to let us see, Father God, and understand, Father God, the spirit world, Father God, and their workings against us and our obedience to you and our love to you and the church, Father God, the strategy that the enemy is working towards the church and to destroy leadership and to destroy those, Father God, that are seeking you, Father God. So, Father, we just bless your name. We thank you for our teacher on today, Minister Paulette. We thank you for how you continue to open up her understanding and her eyes, Father God. We thank you for Apostle on this morning, Lord God. And we give you glory and honor and all that you have done for us and that you're doing for us. Lord, give us a deeper revelation of Jesus and the price he paid for us. Show us how to walk in freedom in every area of our life. Give us understanding of reigning on this earth and of our identity as a son or daughter of God. Father, we decree that we're free from sickness and disease and that we have the mind of Christ, Father God, and that we're prosperous and we're prospering in our soul, our spirit, and body, and that we walk in all that the blood has purchased for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Alright, we are coming to the end of this book. We'll finish chapter 9 next week is Thanksgiving. I do pray that you will be in a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving, not just for your family and friends, but for those who are in need as well. And then we have the experience starting tonight and going to tomorrow, and a time of experiencing some healing triage and understanding that it is a process. And each step of the process is valuable. You just can't go from 20 stitches to a Band-Aid. Well, you can, but it has to progress that way. You don't start off with the Band-Aid. There's a cleaning of that wound, and that's a very painful. The wound itself is painful enough, but then you got to clean it, and you got to make sure that it's free from any debris or anything that is would cause it to become infected and spread. And so it's such a process that we honestly, we just got to sit still for. We got to trust God for it. We got to believe that he said all things work to the good. And we have to think that way. And we thank God that he has given us that power through the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus. And so I do encourage you to pray for that experience and those that are going forth in it, that they will receive a fresh oil and a transformational truth will become embedded in there, the souls of their heart, and they can never be the same again. And so we thank God for leadership that takes us on this trailblazing journey, and we rejoice in those that are always there and those that are learning to that this is the way, walk therein. It's a joy when we learn how to do the right thing, when we learn that there is a more excellent way and we have a hunger and thirst for it. So we thank God for it and for you. Enjoy, embrace, know, and obey the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Have a blessed day. And get ready for this evening.
Thank you, Overseer.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Blessing.
Yes. Blessing to you all. Strength and power.